Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings and practices of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Joan Tim, in loving memory of Richard and Jeffrey Tim. Today's sermon text comes from Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, how about the gospel lesson we've got this morning? It's a pretty straightforward miracle account of Jesus healing this man who's born deaf and who has a problem speaking. It's not very long. It's kind of not out of the ordinary, except for the fact that it's a miracle, right? But it's the kind of thing that we grow accustomed to hearing in church, Jesus performing miracles, because that's one of the things that he does. But before we look more closely at this miracle, I want you to think about what it would be like to be without one of your senses, and particularly what it would be like to be deaf. Now, if you think about what it's like to be deaf today, I don't know if you have any familiarity with this or not, but it's actually not so bad. You can do many things, and in fact, there are many deaf people that are happy to be deaf, that want their children to be deaf, and that would not take a cure if it were offered to them. They can do pretty much anything that any hearing person can do, right? They can communicate using American Sign Language fully and completely. They have rich communities of people that can do all the social things that just about any of you could do, right? It's not so bad. And if you aren't a person who's a member of a deaf family or community, thanks to the miracles of medicine and technology, many people who lose hearing have remedies available to them, right? Cochlear implants that can restore hearing almost completely in some cases, and hearing aids that help people that are losing their hearing slowly over time for different reasons. But in the first century, things were different, weren't they? At Jesus' time, being deaf would have meant an entirely different lifestyle for you as a person, because there was no fleshed out means of communication. There was not a full language like we have today that people can communicate. There were not special schools established for people to learn that language or to learn how they should go about their lives as a person who can't hear. If you were born deaf in the first century, and for many centuries before and after that, you were largely isolated from everyone around you. Your ability to communicate with anyone else would depend entirely on a kind of rudimentary sign language that we kind of use like with little kids, right? You're pointing to something and hoping that they understand what you're trying to get across, or waving it at them, or pointing them towards what you want them to see, right? But that would be the extent of your communication ability. That would sever you from your friends and your family. You would be an outsider, even in your hometown. That is the life that this man who Jesus heals in today's gospel lesson was living, isolated and largely alone. So when his friends hear that in fact Jesus has come to town, they want their friend to go meet him because they want him to be a part of their community. So they take him to Jesus. They beg Jesus to lay his hands on him. And what does Jesus do? He takes him away from the crowd. He places his fingers into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Now, this is another matter, right, of his speech impediment, is what it says here. It's possible that he's got some other problem, but likely it's the same issue that deaf people today face. It's hard to speak a language when you haven't heard it, reproducing the sounds that you hear other people making, right? And so part of the amazing thing about this miracle is this man doesn't undergo years of speech therapy in order to speak the language that he's hearing from everyone else for the first time. But he hears and he's able immediately to speak plainly so that everyone around can understand him. It's amazing. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Brothers and sisters, this man has his ears opened by his Lord, so that the first thing he gets to hear is the voice of Jesus, the Word incarnate, the Word of God himself speaking to him. He receives that word with joy, so that he zealously goes out and proclaims who Jesus is. Even though Jesus himself is saying, "Please, don't do that." There's literally nothing that can stop him. Now, with these parables, it's oftentimes hard to get what we're supposed to take away from this. Right? Our standard answer is, why does Jesus perform miracles? Well, to show that he's God. And that's true. It's not wrong. Jesus is, in fact, showing his divine power. He has control over the creation so that even a man who was born deaf and cannot speak, he can make to hear and to speak clearly. But recognize also that this is a continual work that our Lord does. He opens ears and mouths. And in fact, he has opened your ears to hear and receive his word. He has unstopped them by sending you his Holy Spirit in the waters of baptism, that you could hear this passage and know not just that that is a story about Jesus that happened a long time ago, but that that's the work of your Lord, the one who has redeemed you. He has opened your ears to hear what he has to say to you, namely, that your sins are forgiven, that eternal life is yours, that he comes to you even now to strengthen and encourage you for eternal life. Because your ears have been opened, you can hear his word, whether it's read from the lectern or spoken from the pulpit, whether it absolves you, whether it assures you that what you're eating is the body and blood of Christ. Because your ears have been opened, you now can hear what the Lord our God says. And think of all the glorious ways that you hear that. Think of what our Lord has opened your ears to hear. How about all those alleluias that you heard just before I started speaking this sermon? How were those to hear? The praise of God pouring forth from his saints into your ears to strengthen and encourage you for life today and the rest of the week, hopefully. How about the times that our Lord has opened your ears to hear the prayers and petitions of your brothers and sisters in Christ as they plead for mercy, as they offer thanksgiving? Our Lord has made you able to hear all the things that he says and even the cries of mercy of his people. But like I said, hearing is not separate from speaking. They're related to one another. And this man is not only able to hear God's word, but after that, following from it, he proclaims it. Because having received the word for himself, he cannot help but speak it to those around him. And so he proclaims it zealously. So he doesn't just hear the words that Jesus speaks, but he then in turn speaks them to everyone else. Hey guys, have you heard? Jesus opened my ears. I can hear now. And also, you might have noticed, I'm talking. Given a new voice, how could you help but use it, right? Imagine sharing that message of now having your ears opened to people who had known you only as deaf before. That's pretty cool. But now imagine your first conversation with another person. Imagine the first time you shout. Imagine the first time you whisper. Imagine the first time you sing. Even if you weren't a good singer, I have to think it would be totally joyous knowing that you had been without this great gift and now you had received it. And so using it with joy. If that's not a picture of what our Lord gives to us, then I don't know what is. It's a mirror of exactly what we're doing here this morning. That our God comes to you and proclaims to you his word and delivers to you his gifts. And as you leave this place each and every week, you go out into that world thinking, my sins are forgiven. This is amazing. Hey guys, have you heard what Jesus has done? Because it's really pretty amazing. The word of the Lord is a source of joy that is received through the ears and that is disseminated through mouths of his people all over the world. And of course, it's disseminated in many ways, right? Pastor Lauer and I get the joy of disseminating it here to you. In these particular ways, in the pulpit, at the lectern, at the rail, in the absolution. But it is spread far and wide through you all over the place all the time. How many of you walk out of here humming our hymns after a Sunday morning service? How many of you pray with your friends or neighbors? How many of you share the burdens of your friends in Bible studies and classes here at Our Savior's? I suspect many of you. I hope most of you or all of you. Because that is the Lord at work through his word in his people. That's what we see in our gospel lesson for today, in the life of this man. It's what we see if we look around today closely at God's people and where he's working. Brothers and sisters, be overjoyed. You have your sense of hearing. Be glad. You can hear and receive the great gifts that our Lord has given to you. And enjoy, go and share those great gifts with your mouth. For the people sitting here and the people the world over. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2180. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.